CBS News on the hour, 10 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The standoff continues at the U.S. Court, Washington. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Two armed convicts are holding six men and a woman captive in the basement of the U.S. courthouse, threatening to kill unless given safe conduct from the United States. It all began more than 8 hours ago, and no immediate end is in sight. There are no reports of any of the hostages being harmed. The prisoners are demanding a car and an aircraft to take them to freedom. Authorities are making no apparent moves to grant their demands. Neither are ultimatums being issued for the release of the hostages. At this point, it is just a waiting game. Jed Duval reports.
Federal authorities here have a tight lid on what is going on inside the lockup in the sub-basement of Federal District Court. But from various police sources, a picture emerges. Frank Gorham, one of the two who seized hostages, casually twirling a large pistol, a prisoner turned keeper, his captives on the floor. Gorham's father, then his mother, were brought in to speak with him to no avail. Another part of the picture, marshals outside the cell block placing paper cups over the television cameras once installed to watch prisoners, now used by prisoners to watch the authorities outside. Quote, they control a fortress, said one police source, a fortress we built for the marshals. Jed Duval, CBS News at Federal District Court in Washington.
CBS News continues after this.
The Veterans Administration helps people in little ways.
A veteran, let's say, is trying to get an appointment. He's filed to go to school under the DID. He's not getting any money, but he's entitled. Well, what's wrong with writing a letter saying that under the law, this man is entitled to receive $220 a month for attending school on a full-time basis? Believe it or not, he can take that letter with the little job, take it to the real estate people, and because he has an additional income of $220, although he isn't receiving it, it makes his chances of getting that apartment much better. And this is what I mean about the little things. Going beyond the duty every once in a while. Just go a little bit out of your way to help someone. That's my philosophy. To me, these are little things. But big things to that person. A big thing to that person.
At VA, we try a little harder to help.
The first section of the House Judiciary Committee evidence has been made public. Much of the material was known before. The report does indicate President Nixon discussed problems arising out of Watergate 4 days before he acknowledged learning about the efforts to cover up the scandal. There are 8 volumes. 7 contain evidence gathered by the committee from testimony and other sources. The 8th volume contains a presentation of Presidential Attorney James St. Clair. George Herman reports.
The outlines of St. Clair's defense have already become clear. The volume released by the committee fills in some of the details. The key moment is the meeting of March 21st, 1973. The president knew nothing of the burglary before it took place at the Watergate, knew nothing of the cover-up until John Dean's cancer on the presidency briefing on March 21st. After that, the president repeatedly told his subordinates to speak out truthfully on what they knew about the whole affair. And St. Clair buttresses these contentions with numerous quotes from the White House tape transcripts. He also cites John Dean's testimony that he left the March 21st meeting feeling the question of getting money to convicted Watergate burglar Howard Hunt was still very much up in the air. St. Clair ignores the passage where the president tells Dean in the committee transcript to, for Christ's sake, get the money for Hunt to keep the cap on the bottle. St. Clair's argument, in the end, the president did not order the hush money paid. It was mostly a misunderstanding between Dean and John Mitchell and others. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
The case against John Ehrlichman and other defendants in the Ellsberg break-in trial goes to the jury Friday. Ehrlichman's attorneys told the jury their client knew nothing about the break-in until after it occurred. The prosecution said, nevertheless, Ehrlichman sent the White House Plumbers Unit on an illegal mission to the office of Daniel Ellsberg, psychiatrist. More after this.
First, Valley of the Dolls. Then, The Love Machine. Now, Jacqueline Suzanne's new number one best-selling novel, Once Is Not Enough. It's a story of the super rich and the things their money can't buy. Jacqueline Suzanne again uncovers and intimately parallels the lives of the beautiful people you read about. Once Is Not Enough is nonstop action. Rome, California, Palm Beach, New York. Fasten your seatbelts. The best book Jacqueline Suzanne's ever written. Once Is Not Enough, a Bantam book wherever paperbacks are sold.
Merriam-Webster's has added a new hope to its vocabulary. The new collegiate dictionary defines this hope as health opportunity for people everywhere. It comes from the initials H-O-P-E, as in Project Hope. Project Hope has brought health opportunity to the people of many countries with its programs of treating and training. Help add hope to the lives of thousands more throughout the world. Help Hope reach out. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
Looking for a job? Here's one place not to apply. Not because the pay isn't good, but because it will be 1980 before the current list of qualified applicants is used up. Where and what is this job? Street sweeping in San Francisco at $17,000 a year. Among the latest applicants were two attorneys. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Wildlife's still roaming the forests and prairies, underground caverns, giant redwood trees, Lexington and Concord, homes of great statesmen, rivers and canyons, wonders like these are the treasures of America, places to celebrate our liberty, wonders of nature, wonders of man, places to touch our history.
Your national parks to preserve, use, and enjoy.
K-O-I-N.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of primeval dread, to the fear you can hear. Do things have souls? Do natural forces embody malicious spirits? That was the primitive belief of mankind, stifled, they say, by the rise of civilization. But is it dead? Or does there move within us still the distorted shadow of some long-forgotten lore, dark images we dare not face? Jeff Moore never found the answer, but the question shattered his life.
Stop. You devil, Chindi. I defy you.
You called me and I'm here, Chindi. I'm here. I defy you. No!
Jeff,
don't
wake up.
What?
It's a dream.
You're
having a
nightmare.
Oh,
no.
Katie. Katie, that terrible
thing
again.
Just a storm.
The horse again. The horse galloping toward me. The rider wrapped in a long black shroud. When he turned his face to me, it was a mass of melting flesh. It was the face of the man we buried out there in the sand.
Mystery drama, The Devil God, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Mary Jane Higby and stars Ruby Dee and Mandel Kramer. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I'd like to clear up a little misconception, and to do it, I'm going to take you through a Buick dealership. See, a lot of people are considering the purchase of a small car, but they might not consider coming to a Buick dealer to get it. That's a mistake, because right here are all kinds of small cars, imported and domestic, with 4, 6, and 8-cylinder engines, with 2, 3, or 4 doors. Here's our biggest small car, the midsize Century. It's pretty luxurious in there, but the size makes it practical, too. This one's our next smallest, Buick Apollo. Under this hood, there's a six. Pretty handy these days. Yet because Apollo is a Buick, it has qualities you don't often find in cars this size. And this little rascal is Opel, four cylinders, and the best-selling car in Germany. You'll know why when you drive it. Well, there you have it. An impressive small car variety under one roof. At your Buick Opel dealer.
Whopping one-third of the world's energy use. That's how much Americans have been accounting for every year. And we only have 6% of the world's people. This is Jerry Kay for the Sierra Club. Since energy has been cheap and plentiful, we have wasted a staggering amount. But if we just cut out most of that waste, we could save several million barrels of oil every day. Energy conservation is necessary for our economic well-being now, and it is essential to our environmental health from now on. Because our most essential, life-giving natural resources, our air and our lands and our waters, suffer from the careless exploitation of our energy fuels. New and cleaner sources of energy will become available in time. New and more efficient methods of putting that energy to work are on the way. But for now, there is no alternative to energy conservation. It can work. It can work wonders. A message from the Sierra Club.
The main character of our drama tonight will never appear. I think you will feel his presence, however, as thousands have felt it through the long centuries that brought us out of the prehistoric cave to the place where we now stand. As Jeff and Katie Moore, a young couple from New England, felt it among the stark cliffs of the Southwest. But let Katie tell you about it.
That storm last night shook this old house like a tangle shaking glass. I lay trembling in my bed while it crashed its way towards us and burst in a roar overhead. Jeff started screaming in his sleep.
Help me, please.
The way he does nowadays.
Help me.
And I ran into
help,
comfort.
Help me. Please help me.
Jeff, darling, wake up. This is the storm.
It's the horse again. The horse galloping toward me, the rider wrapped in a long black shroud. Suddenly he turned his face to me and it was a mass of melting flesh, the face of the man we buried out there in the sand. Oh, Katie.
All right, dear. You'll be all right.
Katie, am I ever going to get over this?
Funny thing about a vicious storm, how innocent and clean the world looks afterward. In the morning, the air was so shimmering clear. I thought I was back in Antelope Valley that day I first saw it nestling in the desert mountains. I didn't know then the terror hidden in those hills. I wish I had known. Dear God, how I wish I had known.
Sorry about the shape this road's in, folks.
This is a road?
Are we on our own property yet, Mr. Curdy?
Yeah, we'll be as soon as we cross the little Yaqui River. It's only 20 miles or so to the house from there.
Mm-hmm.
Your uncle left you a fine ranch. You're going to be mighty happy when you see what you've got.
I'll be mighty happy if I've still got my teeth.
It's awfully nice of you to bring us all the way out here.
Well, couldn't let you come out alone the first time. You being strangers to this part of the country and all. Now, when we get to the top of this rise, you're going to see a grade A job of government bungling. A few months ago, they sent out some fancy Eastern engineers. First thing they did was pull out the bridge that was here and move it 10 miles downriver. Never stopped to find out there was a house 20 miles back and this bridge was the only access.
Oh, dear. Well, what do we do?
The Jeep won't make it through the gully. Yeah. At least I think it will. I better walk down first, though, to make sure.
Shall I come with you?
No use both of us getting our feet wet.
And I can see why he said we'd never make it in our own car. Funny, when I think of your uncle sinking all of his money in this godforsaken country.
Godforsaken? Why, it's beautiful.
Come on, darling. You've seen too many John Wayne movies.
It's valuable, right?
I know, I know. And I'm lucky. I married a beautiful woman who turned out to be an heiress.
I'm glad we didn't know my Uncle Bush was making me his heir. I'd have thought you were marrying me for my vast holdings.
And I just hope that among the vast holdings, he left a bottle of scotch. Because I'm going to need it if Joe Purdy manages to get us across these craters of the moon.
Well, okay. I just wanted to be sure that there was no quicksand.
We're really going down into that ravine.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, it's awful steep, isn't it?
Well, made it. Shook up. Sorry, folks. Well, that's the little Yaqui River.
River? Yeah, there wasn't a quart of water in it.
Oh, not now. But don't you ever try what I just did. Come a flash flood, and it'll be a wall of water rushing down. You know, I've seen little jackrabbits caught in it, even rattlesnakes. That's why your uncle was so mad about that bridge. You can't get to your land from the new one without scaling the cliff.
What? Mr. Purdy, wait a minute now. Are you saying that once you leave us, we're completely cut off, trapped?
Oh, no. The ranch hands can always get you out. The Kenneth, he's your foreman. He talks English real good.
Well, what do the others talk?
Their own language. They're Indians.
Indians? Why didn't anybody tell us all this?
Well, now, I wouldn't worry. Well, your uncle had the best ranch hands in the state. That's why Antelope Valley's such a fine money-making outfit.
Well, now, just don't borrow trouble. Wait till we get there. See what it's like.
I know what it's like. Flash floods, quicksand, rattlesnakes, and 6 feet of snow. Katie, we are moving into a trap.
The death misgivings faded when Antelope Valley lay spread before us. The long white L-shaped house, half hidden in cottonwood trees and bordered by bright flowers. And winding in the distance, the gully that marked the upper course of the Little Yaqui. Some Indians were standing around the corral. I waved, but they only stared back.
And here we are, folks.
Well, after what we've been through, this is kind of like Shangri-La, isn't it?
We'll just get the luggage out. Oh, there's your foreman. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Joe.
Mr. and Mrs. Moore, Kenneth Yazzie.
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Kenneth.
Yes. I'll help with your bags.
Well, thank you.
And if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to work. We're just finishing up. All right, if I show you around later.
Oh, yes.
Freezer's well stocked, isn't it, Ken?
Sure is. A couple of sides of beef and a lot of game. Now, don't you carry anything, Mrs. Moore. Just get the door for us, please. I've had the house open and airing for you all day.
What a nice room.
What a great fire.
And look at this. You wouldn't expect a picture window in a ranch house, now would you?
Oh, your uncle built himself a real modern...
Look, up on the hill. What a beauty.
Oh, you mean the horse. Hey, that's a Palomino, isn't it?
What?
Isn't that a Palomino out there?
Oh, it's gone.
I think you must be mistaken. I think you saw a deer.
No, it was a horse,
all
right.
It was a wonderful golden mane. I'm going to get some sugar and see if I can't...
No.
What?
Leave it alone.
Why, Ken?
That horse is no good, Joe.
Well, what do you mean?
There's a bad feeling about that horse, Mrs. Moore. Leave her alone. She doesn't belong here.
Whose horse is it?
Bad feeling. Don't go near her. Let her go.
But doesn't she belong to us? Doesn't she?
Believe me, Mrs. Moore. You staying overnight, Joe?
No. I have to get back to the office. The title company won't run itself, you know.
Well, you'll stay and have a drink with us, won't you?
The boys want to talk to you, Joe.
Yeah, sure. I'll go out to the corral and say hello and, yes, Mr. Moore, I reckon I better have one for that road. We'll be right back.
Well, what do you suppose that was all about?
The horse, you mean?
That Indian looked so funny.
I thought he looked frightened.
A valuable animal like that shouldn't be running around loose.
Oh, come on, darling. I want to see the rest of the house. Look at this kitchen. It's huge.
You can walk right inside the closet. Boy. Hey, your Uncle Bush Hyatt was no teetotaler. I'll say that for him. Get the ice, honey, and I'll see if I can find some glasses. There's enough liquor here to last the whole winter.
Who are you staring at?
That horse again.
Hmm?
Look through this window. It's heavenly. Oh, Jeff.
Boy, Joe Purdy's sure deep in conversation with those Indians. They're kind of a sullen-looking lot, aren't they? No, I don't think I would exactly call this place heavenly, honey. Hostile seems a better word.
You don't like it. Oh, Jeff, give it a few weeks' trial.
Look, it's beautiful, Kate, but... Oh, I guess I'm just tired.
Hello?
Hey, well, you're in the kitchen here, getting it all together. What do you have, bourbon or scotch?
Oh, bourbon. Bourbon's fine.
I haven't found the soda yet. Will tap water be all right?
Never mind the water. I'm going to ask you folks to put me up for the night.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful.
Well... Here's to a happy life in Antelope Valley.
Yes,
cheers, Joe.
Cheers.
You don't mind if I called you that, do you?
Of course not. Everybody does. Well, I have to ride out behind the hills tomorrow.
Oh, why?
There's a job to do back there. Nasty job, too. The ranch hands asked me if I'd do it.
Why don't they do it themselves?
No, they can't. There's something to do with their religion. Oh, and by the way, I want to talk to you about that. You've got the best cowhands in the state. Now, you'll get along just fine if you respect their ways, their religion.
What is their religion?
Well, as near as I can figure, the Indian lives in a different world from us. He lives in a world of spirits. Where we see a cloud, he sees a spirit. Where we hear the wind...
Well, that's animatism.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. But the important thing is not to rile those spirits.
Okay, I'll drink to that.
No, I'm serious. And I'd advise you to be. Because, well, I've seen some mighty strange things in my time. And now about that horse, Palomino...
Now, how about that? Now, is it ours or isn't it?
Well, I figure it isn't. You see, anything the lightning god has touched belongs to him.
You mean the horse was struck by lightning?
Hmm. It didn't hurt her. One of those freak accidents. But now she belongs to the lightning god. He'll strike down anybody who tries to take what is his. Mm-hmm. So, leave her alone, okay?
Oh, come on. That's nonsense. Plain superstition.
It's what they believe.
Well, Kenneth doesn't go for this rubbish, does he? He seems like an educated man.
He was a track star at UCLA. Almost made the Olympics. But Ken is an Indian.
I see. All right, let's get this straight. The horse belongs to this ranch, right? And it's a valuable animal, isn't it?
I reckon so.
Now, you're saying that I can't keep her, can't even sell her because of some whammy that somebody's put on her?
I'm saying you won't go near that horse if you know what's good for you.
But that's crazy.
Now, don't be so sure.
Well, you don't believe this drivel, do you?
I don't believe it, and I don't not believe it.
Well, that horse is going back into the barn. It's ours, and I'm keeping it.
You take that attitude and you'll be in trouble. Bad trouble.
That is superstition right out of the Dark Ages.
Older than that, I reckon. But it's their belief. And this would be one hell of a time to try to talk them out of it. They've got a dead man lying back in the hills to prove it.
A dead man?
Mm. If you're so cocksure about these things, ride out with me tomorrow when I go bury him.
The two men, still stubbornly arguing the pros and cons of superstition, to stand at her bedroom window, watching the motionless stars. As one springs to sudden life and goes skimming across the sky, she makes a wish, then smiles at herself. A meteor, nothing more. What power has it to grant good fortune? Troubled, she turns to her bed and her first night's sleep in the eerie stillness of Antelope Valley. I'll be back shortly with Act Two of The Devil God.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in the clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Your contributions to care have given help and hope to millions of needy people around the world. When they were hungry, you nourished them. When they were thirsty, you brought them safe water to drink. When they were sick, you made them well. When they were homeless, you provided them shelter. When they could not read, you helped build their school. When they were without hope, you showed them how to help themselves. CARE, the International Aid and Development Organization. By helping one human being anywhere, you help mankind everywhere. People who need care need your help.
Please send your dollars to CARE, Department 2, New York, 10016.
Stillness has settled over the remote ranch, broken only by the occasional howl of a coyote. In spite of her uneasiness about the gruesome task her city-bred husband has agreed to undertake with Joe Purdy, Katie Moore has fallen into a deep sleep. She awakes with a start. Someone is moving about the room.
Jeff?
Oh, I didn't mean to wake you, honey. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's still dark.
It sure is. When Joe Purdy says early, he means it.
I'll get you breakfast.
No, we've had breakfast. Don't get up. Katie, do you know where that blue cotton shirt of mine is?
I think I put it... Oh, yes. Second drawer down.
Okay. So how's the girl of the Golden West?
Did you hear anything?
No. Like what?
Well, I thought I heard hoofbeats. Toss me my dressing gown, will you? Whew, it's chilly, isn't it? Yes, there she is again. The Palomino. Poor thing. Probably hungry.
You know, Katie, this whole setup seems fishy.
You mean about the horse?
The whole situation on this ranch. After you went to bed last night, I found out the name of this guy that we're going to bury. Little Gambler. And whose father do you think he is?
Kenneth Yazzie's father?
That's right, our college graduates. Now, superstition or no superstition, you don't leave your father lying out where the buzzards and coyotes can get at him.
Ooh, Jeff, don't.
I'm sorry, honey, but today I won't be surprised if we find him shot through the head or stabbed in the back. If we can tell from what's left of him. There's something phony going on. I'm not sure Joe isn't part of it.
Oh, no, Jeff.
Well, you take this guy's name, Little Gambler. Now, honey, you know that horse is worth a lot of money.
You think there was a fight over the horse?
I don't know. I sure don't go for all this mumbo-jumbo about lightning gods and rainbow gods and spirits of death. It's too easy and out. Can you see, is that horse still there?
Uh-huh. Poor thing, it needs a good currying.
As soon as I'm dressed, I'm going out and putting it into the barn. And Katie, you see that it stays there.
The sun was beginning to rise as I watched wily Joe Purdy and my cheerful blonde husband ride out of sight. I turned to unpacking and settling into my new home. Just after midday, a sudden commotion drew me out into the yard. The barn door was open, and in the dark interior, a golden mane flashed through the air as the Palomino reared suddenly. I could make out two shadowy figures behind us. No, stop! Stop! Don't drive her out! Stop that! My husband put the horse in the barn. She says, stay there. Now, don't let her out. Doesn't either of you speak English?
Something wrong, Mrs. Moore?
Yes. My husband put the Palomino in the barn this morning, and I caught these men trying to drive her out.
I don't think so, Mrs. Moore.
Oh, yes, I saw them.
The horse is no good.
You mean she's vicious? That's absurd. She's as gentle as a lamb.
No good for the ranch.
She was my uncle's horse, wasn't she? Kenneth, I'm serious about this. We're keeping her. And from now on, I want the boys to take good care of her.
They have other work to do.
Oh, come on. All this fuss is because she was struck by lightning, isn't it? Let's settle this once and for all.
This was my uncle's ranch. Now my husband and I occupy the place that he did.
Your uncle understood Indian ways.
I understand, too. I know how the ranch hands feel about the lightning god, and I sympathize. But I don't for one minute believe in it, and I don't think you do.
Mrs. Moore, let the horse go. Otherwise, I cannot be responsible.
You don't have to be. Just do as I say. He turned on his heel and left me standing there in the blazing heat. Tears of fury stung my eyes. I watched a buzzard circling in the clear sky. Then the thought of Jeff and the grisly job he had set out to do sent a shiver through me, and I ran back into the cool ranch house. I prowled restlessly from room to room until in my uncle's office I came across a photograph album, a pictorial record of his days as a trader on the Indian reservation. A recent snapshot, not yet pasted in the book, fell out in my lap. On it, my uncle had written, Scheherazade, First Prize, Santa Fe, 1972. It was the Palomino. I was so engrossed in the album that I didn't notice the change in the weather. A wind had come up and a door started banging. And I ran to fasten it. And I could see the cottonwoods outside writhing in the wind. A few Indians had gathered near the corral. One of them, taller than the rest, wore a big black hat. He was pointing to the east, where a dark, menacing cloud hung over the hills. I felt stifled. I sat down, gasping for breath, and watched while the ugly thing spread like some monstrous growth across the sky. Shortly after sunset, Jeff and Joe Purdy returned.
Honey?
Oh, Jeff! Jeff, I'm so glad you're back.
Not as glad as I am. What a day.
Nasty chore. I reckon it gave your husband a bad turn.
You better believe it.
You look exhausted, darling. Aren't you coming in, Joe?
No, I'll just return our ponies to the corral. Then I got to get on my way.
Mm.
I want to keep ahead of that storm, at least till I cross the Little Yaqui. You'll excuse me, Mrs. Moore?
Oh, of course. Oh, goodbye. Goodbye. Thanks, Joe, for everything.
So long, Joe. I'll see you soon.
Sure. I'll keep in touch. Oh, Ken, take these ponies. I've got to get going.
Okay. You'll make it if you hurry, Joe. So long.
Come on in, darling.
Yeah. Those cow ponies are tough little animals. I don't think anything else could have made this trek.
It was rugged, huh?
You'd never believe it, honey. I'll say this for the lightning god when he sets out to do a job. That bolt must have hit the Indian in the head and spun him right around. His face was like melted.
Ooh.
Even his moccasins were split. And a funny thing, his blouse was untouched. But the sleeves were gone. Apparently went up in smoke. And the flesh on his arms was peeled to the wrist.
Do you think it really was lightning?
Oh, no question about it. Freak accident. Strange how often people use that word about lightning, hmm?
Freak.
Yeah. You have to see it to know why. I mean, it looks deliberate. You know, like two guys are in a boat and one is struck by lightning and killed and the other one isn't touched. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
The Indians think it's malicious spirits. Chindi, they call it. Well, that's nonsense, of course, but I tell you, standing alone with Joe out there in the desert, well, it was funny, but it was like I could feel a presence. I kept looking over my shoulder. I told Joe, and he said, "Yeah, Chindi. That's the death devil, Chindi."
Jeff.
Well, look, honey, I was darn glad to get away from there.
It's getting dark.
That evil presence was...
I better put on some more lights. Where's the light switch?
By the front door.
Oh, yes. Come on in the kitchen, dear. I've got a good, rich beef stew on the stove, and you'll feel better when you've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
What was the scenery like back there?
In sky, sand, and sagebrush. The handiwork of Chindi. Storm.
My goodness, it's black outside.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to be Joe Purdy driving back to town now.
Oh, lightning, look. Sheet lightning, isn't it? Scary, but beautiful. Lit up the whole hill.
The Indians say it was Little Gambler's fault.
His fault that lightning struck him?
Mm-hmm. They say he rode a horse that fire from the sky hit last year.
The Palomino?
That's right. And he knew the lightning god gets mad if anybody takes what's his. You know, Katie,
I'm afraid we're going to have to give her up.
Oh, no. She's a jewel, a prize winner, you know. And she's been so neglected. It's awful. Uncle Bush was very proud of her.
How do you know?
Well, I found a picture of him standing beside her the day she took first at some horse show.
Well, we can't keep her.
Jeff, you're not going to let them drive her away.
Honey, there are forces around us that we don't dare contend with.
Jeff, what are you talking about? You know it's superstition.
It's easy to say that here in this cozy house. But out there, in those bleak, burning dunes, I tell you, Katie, there was something. I could feel it. I feel it now.
That was a close one, wasn't it?
Yes. It's not sheet lightning, it's fork lightning. I'm going out and open the barn door.
Jeff, you're not. Not in this weather. I won't let you drive her out into this weather. What's the matter with you? You said yourself this is nonsense.
It's bringing us trouble. Bad trouble. I can feel it coming like a hot wind.
You've been out in the hot sun all day, and Joe Purdy has hypnotized you with this rubbish.
Joe says the ranch hands will all leave if we try to keep her.
Let them. We'll get others. They have good jobs here, and good jobs aren't so easy to get these days.
But, honey, this morning I felt the way you do. But damn it all, you haven't seen what I've seen. That Indian looked like he'd been scalped. I know, I saw it. I'm not just talking. Now, we've got to get rid of the horse.
Jeff, listen to me, dear. If we give in now, we'll lose all authority. You know, I had an unpleasant scene with Kenneth earlier. He was very rude. We can't start out that way. This taboo, or whatever it is stupid and barbaric, and we're not going to yield to it. Now, I'm going to make some coffee.
Stay away from the sink. That's not superstition. The pipes form a perfect ground for the lightning.
You mean I can't even run water for coffee?
Not until the worst of the storm is over. It's heading for us right now. Joe was telling me that before lightning strikes, you can sometimes feel an electric charge run through your body. You feel your hairs rise. It's the hand of Chin D. Then you're probably going to be hit, and the only thing to do is drop flat on the ground and pray.
Oh,
I'll hit a power line, I guess.
Well, what do we do?
Now, just keep calm. Lights will probably go on again.
It's awfully dark. Have we got a flashlight?
Yeah, but it's in the car back in town.
Matches?
Not since I quit smoking. Got to be some candles around here.
I saw some this morning. I remember now. I was putting things in the kitchen closet. I know where they are. There must be matches there, too. I'll get them. Let's see now. It's over here past the sink. Yes. In the back on the third.
Katie! Oh. What happened?
Oh.
Katie, are you all right?
Oh.
Katie, where are you?
Groping his way through the darkness, Jeff struggles against the sudden rush of his own superstitious fear. But one man's superstition is another man's firmly held faith. And perhaps the only safe conduct through the uncertainties of this valley of shadows is a healthy respect for the beliefs of others. Common courtesy or common sense should teach us that. If not, the powers that be may find harsher ways to bring the lesson home. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Goldilocks. Miss Goldilocks, if you please. And I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be once upon a time. I mean, that's how this miss got into the biz. But lately, it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch, a $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem, what to do about it.
I'll help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
An unfamiliar house, a wrong step, and a headlong plunge into black emptiness. Katie Moore lies dazed and frightened on a rough cement floor.
Oh. Katie? Katie, where are you? Are you all right?
I think so. Don't try to get to me, Jeff. Wait. I'll see if I can get up. Oh! Oh!
Are you hurt?
I don't know. Yes, I think I fell down some steps.
Don't move. Damn it, if I only had a match. Yes, there are steps here.
Be careful.
All right. Now, where are you, darling?
Here.
Oh, okay. All right, listen, dear, do you think you can put your arm around my neck?
I'll try.
Right. Easy now. Huh? I'd better not try to move you then till we get some light. I gotta find those candles. I'll be right back, darling.
Watch yourself. Right. Watch yourself.
Oh, tomorrow 10. Thank God you brought a light.
I could see from the bunkhouse that the place was still dark. I figured you didn't have a flashlight, so I brought a couple of kerosene lamps.
But my wife fell down the cellar steps, and I'm afraid she's badly hurt. I didn't dare try to move her. Ken's brought us some lamps there. It just happened a minute ago. She fell down these steps. She was looking for candles. She thought she was going into the kitchen closet. And she opened the wrong door.
I can't move. I can't turn over.
Let's see.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, boy. Looks like it's the shoulder. My collarbone.
My legs feel all right. I can move them.
Try slipping your arm around her waist. I think I can hold her so it won't be too bad. All right. But it's easy. Going to hurt some, Mrs. Moore. Ready?
Yes.
All right, you think we dare lift her?
Yes. I've got her. Tell me when you're ready.
All right, now. There. Easy, darling. Does it hurt?
A little. I think I can walk up.
Easy. Okay.
Nice and slow.
Got you.
Careful.
Now, one step at a time. Bring the lamp.
Yeah, I am. Take it easy, darling. Easy now. Just a few more steps.
Just get me to the sofa.
Okay. Can we get the lights on again, Kenneth?
Not a chance. Till the worst of this is over. I have a hunch it hit the generator. Wait, I have to get back to the bunkhouse.
All right, here we are now.
Easy now, Mrs. Moore.
Careful now. Easy, dear.
I don't want to leave the ranch crew alone too long. They're restless.
Yes, I understand. All right, go ahead. And Ken?
Yes?
Go to the barn and get rid of her.
My horse? No, no.
Katie,
oh, no.
Don't make waves. Not now.
You're right, you're right. Do what you think's best.
Thanks. It'll make things a whole lot easier for me.
That was a bright flash. Lit up the whole room.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Did you see that?
Yes, I saw.
They can't do this to us. Stop them.
I'll try.
What's the matter? What happened?
The ranch hands, honey, they're leaving. In that last flash, I could see a long line of ponies. They're all just quietly riding away.
Oh, Jeff, I'm frightened.
All right, now we have to keep our heads here.
We can leave, too.
I don't know. The people have been in worse spots than this. Now that we have plenty of provisions, it can't rain forever.
I never saw such a downpour.
Ken? Did they take all the ponies?
No. There's one left, but it was badly hurt a few days ago.
Kenneth, why did they all leave us?
There's bad feeling here.
You mean they're frightened? I'm damned if I understand it.
They're not afraid of dying. It is the spirit of death they respect. It is Chindi. Indians are proud before men. They're not proud before their gods. Black Cat. He's a medicine man. He says Chin D is very angry now. He says tonight Chin D will take all Antelope Valley for his own.
By morning, I was running a fever. It rained for 4 days without let up. A part of the time I was delirious, so my memories are confused.
Try to drink this, dear.
I want some orchids. Orchids, please, please.
Honey, it's chicken broth. Orchids. Try to take a little, huh?
Mr. Moore, I'm afraid it's going to flood.
A little yucky?
There are sandbags in the barn. We've got to make a dike to protect the house.
The river doesn't look that high.
Remember, there's no vegetation in these hills to hold the water. A sudden downpour runs right off. Flash flood. Come on.
That ought to hold for a while.
It's not enough. That's all we have.
Oh, I'm so tired, I'm going to drop.
We've done all we can do. Mr. Moore, we'll have to move to higher ground. When that water hits, the house may go.
We can't, man. We can't move Kitty outdoors in her condition.
We'll set a tarpaulin tent on the hill. Take blankets. Hurry. It'll come any time now. We were lucky to get out. Look.
Great Scott, it's a wall of water. Will the house go?
I don't know.
Never seen anything like that. It's like a dam at first. Thank God you got us out of there.
Yeah.
Yes, Kate.
Yeah. Where are we?
We're in a tent, honey, on the hill back of the house. Stay right here until the worst of the storm has passed. Are you warm enough, darling?
What?
Here's the canteen.
Let me lift you up.
I'm so weak.
Careful, honey. What's the matter?
Hey, my
Jack. Try to be quiet, darling. Ken, I've got to get a doctor. Now, if a man had a horse, could he make it out of here now?
He might. He knew his way.
The barn is still standing.
Yes.
I'm going to see if that Palomino is there.
You could never find the pass. Even in good weather, somebody would have to show you the first time. In a storm like this.
Look, I've got to do something. I can't stand by and let my wife die.
I'll go out to the barn.
No. I don't expect you to touch the horse, Ken. I understand these things better now. You can see that I must go.
First, let's see if the horse is still there.
Jeff.
Yes, dear.
It's cold.
Yeah, the blanket has slipped off. Let me wrap it around you.
Where's Garrett?
He went out to the barn a while ago.
I didn't dream. A man was riding by. An horse. And suddenly a horse burst into flames.
Quiet, dear. Quiet, darling.
That sounds like whom?
It must be Ken. He's taken the Palomino.
Ken, no! Ken, I'll go! Ken, come back!
I've deserted us too.
No, he's gone for help.
Oh, the poor guy. He must be threatened to death on that Palomino.
Mr. Moore.
Ken, couldn't you get through?
There's a truck coming. I met them a quarter of a mile down. Joe is with them. It's search and rescue from town.
Search and rescue?
It's a local organization. They have special equipment. Mostly they go after hunters who get lost in the San Francisco peaks.
Well, how did they know about us?
The ranch hand sold them. Managed to throw a makeshift bridge across the Yaqui down below. Your road is mostly washed out, but they can make it slowly.
Thank God. Ken.
Yeah?
Ken, I want to thank you for what you did. I know what it meant.
It's all right.
Look, we were wrong, Ken. We behaved badly. But when you've lived all your life a certain way and believed certain things, it's just hard to... Well, anyway, everything will be okay now.
I hope you're right.
Uh-oh. We better get back into the top when the rain's starting again.
Chin D circled around. He's coming from the other side now.
Oh, nonsense, man. We'll soon be out of here.
Sensation through my body. The small hairs on my forearms seemed to rise.
something flash. Then Ken was lying on the ground.
Ken! Oh, my God.
Kenneth!
Don't try to get up, Katie. Joe. Joe, is he...
Yes. He's dead.
It's my fault. We goaded him into riding that horse. I wouldn't let her go. I killed him. I'll never forgive myself. I'm a murderer.
Now, Miss Moore, it's not your fault. We don't control these things. They're actually...
You said Chindy would kill anyone who touched his property. You said it. You know you did. It is my fault. It is. I killed him.
Please.
He saved our lives.
Katie, stop it. You have got to get this straight now. It was an accident. Do you hear me? An accident.
I killed him. I'll never forgive myself. It was not an accident. You all know what it was. Why don't you say it? It was Chindy. Oh, God, forgive me. I killed him.
Believe she was to blame all her life.
She's hysterical.
Chindy.
Katie, listen to me. There is no Chindy. What happened was an accident. You got to hold on to that fact.
There's the horse. Get rid of us. Drive her away.
Take Mrs. Moore to the truck, boys. We'll have to come back for Kenneth later.
No. I won't go unless you bring Kenneth, too. You're not going to leave him here alone.
Katie, watch me. I'm going to ride that Palomino. Chindy! I'm taking your horse, Chindy. I defy you. If you're there, show us your power now. I defy you. There is no Chindy.
Ms. Moore, you there?
Oh, just Mr. Murchison. Oh, come on in. Oh, your hands are full. Just a second, I'll get the screen off.
My wife sent this over to you.
How nice.
Well, she remembered you always did like it.
Banana bread.
Well, we're glad to have you back with us in Connecticut. We thought we'd lost you to the west.
Oh, it's good to be back. Did you see Jeff? He's working over the edge of the wood. There's a tree, he says, has to come down. It looks sturdy enough to me.
Well, if he's talking about the oak near the clump of white birch, it ain't as solid as it looks. Are you planning to stay now for good?
Oh, yes. We sold everything we owned out west. It was beautiful.
Mary and I drove out there once. It was all too big for me, all too, too much.
The Connecticut is more cozy.
Yeah. Well, I'll be getting along. I want to see Jeff. There's something I should tell him about that tree.
Tell Mrs. Murchison I'll be over to see her as soon as I get settled.
Well, if we can help, just let us know.
Oh, what was that?
Sounds like he felled the tree.
He wasn't going to chop it down. Jeff!
You all right, Jeff?
Jeff! Mr. Murchison, look!
Go back. Call the police. Tell them to send an ambulance. We can't move that tree, just the two of us. Now, quick, girl, quick! Then get the Hesser boys. They're working on the fence. I'm coming, son.
Oh, help. Mr. Murchison, help me.
Lou Hesser will be here in a minute. We'll try to move the tree off you.
I don't know what happened. I just tapped it.
I was coming to tell you, Jeff. It's roughing all the way through. You see, that tree was struck years ago by lightning.
Jeff Moore is in a wheelchair now. Nobody knows just why. The doctors say he suffered no permanent injury when that tree fell. But sometimes late at night, when she hears the wind rising, the rain beginning to fall, Katie's thoughts go back to Antelope Valley and Kenneth Yazzie and the Palomino. And she wonders. I'll be back shortly.
The Marines are looking for a few good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified. qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Lightning strikes, invoking a tribal taboo. Result? Two dead men and a house plunged into darkness. 2 months and 3,000 miles later, a third man is struck down. Coincidence, of course. But what is coincidence? A word. A word we use to explain what we cannot explain. Our cast included Ruby Dee, Mandel Kramer, Leon Janney, and Guy Sorrell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Jenny, that stone ain't gold.
Then what is it?
It's pyrite.
What's pyrite?
Well, it's just what everybody calls... Well, it's a sort of metal.
Well, anyways, whatever it is, it's real precious to me. It's my lucky charm.
Well, that's why you better not let Pa know what you think about it.
Why?
He cares about gambling more than he cares about anything, and all gamblers are real superstitious. Now, if he knew you had a lucky piece, especially if he heard the crazy story about you and the school burning down, he'd have it off of you so fast that it'd set your head to spinning.
It isn't crazy. You heard me wish on the stone for no school, and now there is no school.
That was just happenstance.
You don't think it happened just because I wished it?
Of course it didn't.
Then I'm going to prove it to you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
At KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. Two convicts vowing to kill for their freedom continue holding seven hostages in the basement cell block of the federal courthouse in Washington. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. It began over 9 hours ago when the two armed men seized the hostages. They've been demanding passage out of the country. Heavily armed police continue to surround the building. The hostages include several federal marshals and attorneys. Families of the hostages continue waiting. Jed Duval has a report.
One of those in this curious vigil is 16-year-old Tom Shoemaker. Tom's stepfather, John Hurley, is a lawyer and one of the hostages. Hurley and six others are held captive by Hurley's clients, two prisoners in the detention area of Federal District Court. Tom was home with the family, all hearing about the event on radio and television, but not knowing about Mr. Hurley until the standoff was more than 5 hours old. A marshal called. Then the phone rang again, one of the prisoners saying, "Don't worry about Mr. Hurley, we're fond of him." Also held is a secretary, Deborah Collins, mother of two small children. Her husband and mother are here, too, staying out of sight and waiting. Jed Duval, CBS News, at the Federal District Courthouse in Washington.
And this later word from the courthouse, just in, it's been reported now that Deputy U.S. Marshal Raymond Miller, one of those hostages inside, has been released. He's said to be unharmed, but is not yet out of the building. More news after this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your allergy to contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. And it's an ingredient in Contac. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contac is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contac. Take Contac only when needed, only as directed.
There are reports some looting and burning has broken out in Baltimore after the city's policemen late Thursday night joined a strike by municipal employees. Eyewitnesses report dozens of windows were shattered and merchandise taken from stores. The walkout spread to all 9 police districts in Baltimore, although officials said there were enough high-ranking officers on the streets to prevent trouble. 65 people were hurt Thursday night when a bomb exploded inside a crowded bar in downtown Belfast. There were 2 other bombings during the day in Belfast. The violence occurred on the eve of the annual Orange Day parade, in which thousands of Protestants are expected to take part. The Senate has voted to cut off all military and economic aid to Turkey and all other countries that fail to prevent diversion of opium to illegal drug markets. Turkey recently resumed the production of opium poppies, which many lawmakers fear could result in new smuggling of heroin into the United States. A reporter in San Francisco says that Patricia Hearst and 2 members of the Symbionese Liberation Army may have fled to Guatemala. Marilyn Baker of TV station KQED says police sources have evidence that Ms. Hearst and SLA members William and Emily Harris have been and might still be in Guatemala, traveling there to link up with underground groups. Now this.
One simple step that can help reduce your risk of heart attack. Step into your doctor's office at regular intervals for a checkup. In that way, your doctor can keep an eye on your blood pressure. And if it is high, he can take steps to control it.
If you really want to give your heart a break, here's another simple step to take.
Another step? Get in touch with your heart association. Ask for your free copies of their new publications on blood pressure. You will find out just what blood pressure is and how it works. They'll tell you about hypertension, too. That's the medical term for high blood pressure.
Yes, simple, simple are the steps to take if you want to give your heart a break. For further information, ask your heart association.
Police in Bergen County, New Jersey, have a new weapon in their arsenal, the beanbag. Actually, it's a kind of a gun that shoots canvas beanbags stuffed with pellets, and they say it stops the offender in a humane manner. Bergen County Police Chief Arthur Abrams explains.
You can subdue people with this without causing any bodily harm or permanent injury. It's effective about 15 to 20 feet. And what it will do, it can knock a person down. Now, this is good where you're dealing with a mentally ill person. It's an inebriated person or an unruly person.
Abrams says he likes the weapon because it allows the police to do their job without killing people. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.